If you were to pick up your Bible this morning and turn to the book of Hebrews, you would find in the book of Hebrews a letter that is written to a group of Christians that many of them were on the verge of giving up. The Hebrews writer writes this letter to a group of Christians that have become discouraged, who have begun to doubt certain things, and so they're ready to give up on the Lord. They're ready to give up their faith in the gospel. And this writer sits down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he writes to them 13 chapters. And overall, in these 13 chapters, he's begging them, don't give up. And he gives them a number of reasons throughout this letter that they don't need to give up, that they needed to keep their faith strong in the Lord, that they need to keep serving the Lord, that they don't need to turn their back on Him. The first Sunday of this year, we introduced the theme that we would have throughout 2019. And our theme this year has been Press On, taken from Philippians chapter 3. And our encouragement from our elders this year has been to press on, no matter what is happening around us, to press on. And so we come to this last Sunday of the year. And the Hebrews writer says to us, press on. Hebrews writer says to us, don't give up. And if you could summarize, his appeal in one word, if you could summarize his motivation in just one word, if you could take the entire book of Hebrews and say, here is the one reason, he is giving to not give up. If you could give it in just one word, what would it be? What's the one word in this book that he says, don't give up, keep on serving, don't stop, press on? If you could summarize it in one word, it'd be this: Jesus. That's it. He doesn't bring in anything else into this book other than to say, we need to keep on keeping on, and the only way we can do that is to put our sights on Jesus Himself. As we finish 2019, as we look forward to a new year, as we need to continue pressing on and not give up, I want us to look in the book of Hebrews this morning. And that's the only book we're going to spend time looking at today. And I want us to focus on Jesus today. And I want us to be reminded of some things from the book of Hebrews that can help us when we feel like those Christians did. You ever felt like giving up? You ever felt like this is just too much? Ever felt like I can't go on? I'm done. Hebrews writer's talking to us today. He's saying, don't give up. He's saying, remember these things. Remember these things about Jesus. Number one, he tells us in this book that we need to remember the suffering of Jesus. You want motivation not to give up? Think about the suffering of Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 that He became a human. The Bible there says that He was made a little lower than the angels. That means he became a human. Why did He become a human? Because He was God and God cannot die. He had to become a human so that He could suffer and die. You ever think about giving up? Think about Jesus. He became a human so that He could die for us. You think about Jesus, and the Bible says in that same text in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 that He tasted death. It doesn't just say that He died. It says that He tasted death for everyone. It was a bitter experience for our Lord in the death that He endured. It wasn't just that He came and died, but He tasted the bitterness of the death that He died. You look at Jesus and you remember the suffering that He endured. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 that He went to the cross. Jesus suffered the humiliation of the cross. He went to the cross and suffered the death that was reserved for slaves, the death that was reserved for the worst of criminals. That's the death that He suffered for us. And He didn't just suffer the humiliation of it. Galatians 3 and verse 13 says that everyone who hangs upon a tree, that there's a curse upon everyone who hangs upon a tree. He suffered the curse of it. But the text also says that he was, because of that, rejected. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12 says he suffered outside the gate. Don't even kill him in the city. Get him outside. We don't want anything to do with him. And so Hebrews 12 says, in all of these things, he endured it. He endured the suffering. He endured the cross. He endured the shame. Hebrews 12 and verse 3 says he endured the hostility of sinners against himself. Hebrews writer says, if you ever think about giving up, if you ever start to lose your faith, if you ever think, you know, I just can't keep on. I've got to stop. He says, remember the suffering of Jesus. There's a reason that God gave us this feast to partake of every first day of the week. So that every first day of the week we could remember, do this in remembrance, remember the suffering of Jesus. And when we remember this every week, we don't want to give up. We want to press on and keep serving Him. But take that suffering a step further. Hebrews writer says, don't just remember the suffering of Jesus. Remember the sacrifice of Jesus. It wasn't just that He came and He died. It wasn't even just that He came and He suffered and that He died. This idea of sacrifice is a word that's found 18 times in this book. It's not always applied to Jesus, but the implication is to talk about the fact that Jesus sacrificed. But it was a choice that He made. You know, when it's not talking about the sacrifice of Jesus, this book is talking about the sacrifice of animals. Did those animals make a personal choice to sacrifice themselves? No. The choice was made for them to be sacrificed. But the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26, Jesus made a sacrifice of Himself. It was not a choice that someone else made for Him. It was a choice that He made. He offered Himself. You think about that word offering, and you think about the Old Testament when they would take that animal, when they would take that lamb, and they would lay it up on that altar, and they would offer it up to God. The word offer is found some 30 times in the book of Hebrews. What's the book of Hebrews talking to us about? Talking about the offering of Jesus on our behalf. Chapter 7, verse 27 says, He offered Himself for us. He could have chosen any animal on earth. He could have chosen any number of animals. He could have chosen all of the animals on earth. But instead, when it came to offering a sacrifice, He gave Himself. The Bible says that it wasn't just that He gave Himself, that He did not offer the blood of bulls and of goats. He didn't offer the blood of goats and of lambs. That was insufficient to bring salvation. He entered into the Most Holy with His own blood. Remember the sacrifice of Jesus. That He went to that cross. Not for Himself. He went to that cross for us. He went to that cross not because of anything that He ever did wrong. He went to that cross for everything that we do wrong and violating the will of God. He took our place. In Hebrews 2 and verse 9, when it says that He tasted death for everyone, that's what the word for means. The word for means they're in behalf of, in the stead of. We are the ones who deserve to be hanging on that cross, but He was there for us instead. And He was there because of my sins. He was there because of your sins. He went there, chapter 9 and verse 28 says, to bear the sins of many. the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of David. Jesus was hanging on that cross, sacrificing himself, bearing the reproach of man, being separated from his God. Why? For me and for you. You ever get discouraged? You ever have doubts creep into your mind? You ever feel like you're drifting away from the Lord? You ever feel like giving up sometimes and just quitting and throwing your hands up and say, I can't do this Christian thing anymore. God says, remember the sacrifice of Jesus. Remember what He did for you. That ought to motivate us to keep on keeping on. Remember His suffering. Remember His sacrifice. Remember the salvation that He offers. Because it was only through His suffering and only through His sacrifice that we can have salvation. It's only through His suffering, through His sacrifice, that chapter 1 and verse 3 says, our sins can be purged. Do you need your sins purged? Do you need your sins put away from you? Chapter 9, verse 26 through 28. Do you need your sins taken away from you? Chapter 10 and verse 4. It's only through the suffering and the sacrifice of Jesus that that can happen. But maybe one of the best verses in the book of Hebrews about our sins, not just that they were purged, not just that they were put away by the blood of Jesus, not just that they're taken away, but chapter 8 and verse 12 and chapter 10 and verse 17 says that when God saves us, it's not just that He purges our sins, that our sins are remembered no more. How about that? You know, when you hit the delete button on your computer, that it's deleted from your screen, but it's still there in your computer's memory. Hate to scare you a little bit there, but it's still in the computer's memory because you're still able to go over there and hit Control Z and it pops back up. Where did Control Z find it? It was still in the memory of your computer, even though you hit the delete button. When we ask God to delete our sins, when we ask God to forgive us of our sins, does He still hold it over in His memory bank a little bit? Does He still hold it over there so that any moment He can pop it back up on our screen and say, there, I told you you'd do it again. The Bible says that He remembers it no more. You ever get discouraged? You ever want to give up? Think about the fact that you're remembering all of the sins that you've committed, but when you ask God to forgive you, He doesn't remember a single one. And that's the case because when Jesus went to the cross, chapter 2 and verse 17 says that He became, and here's a big word for us, the propitiation for our sins. And the word propitiation tells us that He was the one who satisfied the wrath of God for us. He's the one that took upon Himself the penalty that was due unto us. The wages of sin is death. We're the ones who deserve that, and yet Jesus is the one who stepped in and took our place as the satisfaction of the wrath of God in our place. You ever get discouraged? Think about the salvation that we have from our sins because of what Jesus did. And He's not just able to save you a little bit. Chapter 7, verse 25 says He's able to save you to the uttermost. He's able to save you completely with the best, the greatest salvation that's ever been known to man. And He's able to do that because on that cross, chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 says, on that cross, He destroyed, He made at naught, He put at naught, He took away the power that the devil had over us. The devil had the power of death. Due to our sin, the wages of sin is death. The devil had the power of death over us. And Jesus went to that cross. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, oh, you're going to bruise his heel, the devil, but he's going to crush your head. Jesus went to the cross so that we could be saved. Not because of our goodness, not because we deserve it, but because of His loving and compassionate grace. Never feel like giving up. Never feel like the devil's won. You ever wonder how much further you can go? Remember what Jesus did. Remember how much He suffered for us. Remember the sacrifice that He made in our place. Remember the salvation that only comes through Him. And then one of the major themes of the book of Hebrews is to talk about Jesus as our high priest. And based upon that, we need to remember the sympathy of Jesus. If you don't understand that, look in chapter 2 and verse 17. In chapter 2 and verse 17, we are first introduced by these words to Jesus as our merciful and faithful high priest. What's a high priest? High priest is that go-between. The high priest is that one that is in between me and God. It's not some man on this earth. It's not some man who wore a special garment like he did in the Old Testament. It's not some man that I meet in a box today and confess my sins to. Jesus is my high priest, who is my go-between my God. And chapter 2 and verse 17 says He's merciful. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you've got a high priest who's not looking to stick it to you? He's merciful. And He's faithful. And as your high priest, chapter 4 and verse 15 says, He can sympathize with our weaknesses. Aren't you glad you've got a high priest who became flesh and dwelt among us? Aren't you glad you have a high priest? Chapter 2 and verse 14 of this book says that just as man has flesh and blood, He took on flesh and blood. He became human for us. Aren't you glad that when you cry out to your God through your high priest, that He understands what it's like to be where we are? He was tempted in all points like as we are. He can sympathize. He can feel for us. And being able to feel for us and sympathize for us, back in chapter 2, it says He's able to help us. He's able to aid us when we are tempted. Aren't you glad that when you're going through those hard patches in your life, that you're not alone? That in crying out to your God through your high priest, that your high priest knows what it's like. And the Bible says He is able in chapter 2 and verse 17. It's the Greek word dunamis. It's the word we get the word dynamite from. He's got the power to help us if we'll just ask Him. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. But what does that song say? He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you. Comfort, strengthen, and keep you. Do we do that? Here is our high priest. The Bible says about our high priest that He is always looking to make intercession for us. Not when it's convenient for Him. Not when it's a good day for Him. Not when His schedule is kind of light. Chapter 7, verse 25 says He always lives to intercede for us because He is there. Chapter 9, verse 24, He is there appearing in the presence of God. But notice the last two words after the presence of God. It's not just that Jesus appears in the presence of God, chapter 9, verse 24. He appears in the presence of God for you and for me. It's not just talking about His geographical location. He's talking about why He's there. He's there for us. He's there to plead our case with our Father, giving us direct access to God. And so in a great section talking about Him as our high priest, chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. Verse 16 there says, "Let us come boldly to the throne of grace." The end of the verse says that we may find help in time of need. Do we do that? When was the last time that you drew near to God? When was the last time you came boldly to the throne of God? When was the last time you thought about your high priest who can sympathize with where you are and whatever you're going through? You feel like giving up? Are you tired of pressing on? God says, remember the sympathy of Jesus. That He's there for you, and He's ready to help you. Final thing I want us to see in the book of Hebrews is those times when we're ready to give up, when we're discouraged, when maybe we've allowed doubt to creep into our hearts, or maybe we're distancing ourselves in some ways, or we're allowing things to separate us, and we need to think about and remember the second coming of Jesus. This theme is touched on a number of times in the book of Hebrews. Chapter 9 and verse 28 says outright, He will come a second time. We know it's going to happen. And the verse right before that in chapter 9 says that when He comes, there will be a judgment. He will come a second time. And at that time, we will all be judged. Chapter 4, verse 13 says, at that time, we will all give an account to Him. When you think about the second coming of Jesus, what does that stir within you? When you think that at any moment Jesus could return, when you think that even this very day Jesus could return, that even this very hour Jesus could return, that we may not make it until 12 o'clock today. When you think that Jesus could return at any moment, and at that time He's going to take us and we will all stand before Him in judgment, what sort of thoughts does that stir within you? It's two possibilities. That can stir within you thoughts of fear, thoughts of dread, thoughts of uncertainty, or that could stir within you thoughts of joy and happiness and peace and anticipation. Which one of those describes you today? Are you ready for the second coming of Jesus? In the passage that was read in chapter 10, you might look in chapter 10 at those last verses, the last five verses from verse 35 through verse 39. He there talks about those, in the words there, those who draw back. Those who have been engaged in the Christian life, but they're letting up. They're drawing back from serving Him. They are giving up and turning their life back in a direction away from God. What does the book of Hebrews say about those individuals? About those individuals who are drawing back and giving up on their service to God. Says when Jesus comes back, that they will find that God has had no pleasure in what they're doing. Do you see that? Do you see that statement in Hebrews chapter 10? God has no pleasure in them. If I give up in serving Him, God's not on my side when I do that. When Jesus comes back, the Bible says that if I have drawn back, if I have given up, one of the most terrifying statements, perhaps, in the Bible, especially in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10, verse 27. Verse 26 says, if you're in chapter 10, look up in verse 26 where it says, if we sin willfully, if we choose to turn away from God, if we sin willfully after we've come to a knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Jesus already died for us, and if we've turned our back on that sacrifice, there's no more sacrifice for our sins. It doesn't remain anymore. Well, what does remain? If we don't have a sacrifice for sins anymore, what do we have? What does verse 27 say? A certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation. There's a lot involved in those words, and I don't want to have anything to do with them. But if I let up, if I give up, if I stop pressing on, chapter 10, verse 26 and 27 says, that's what awaits me. And it says that I will not be able to enter into his rest, if you back up into chapter 3. But instead, where I will enter, verse 39 of chapter 10, is I will enter into a place of destruction. A place that Jesus described as eternal destruction. I don't know about you, but I don't want anything to do with any of that. So what do I need to do? I need to look at the second coming of Jesus, and I need to press on. I need to look at the second coming of Jesus, and I need to be one who, instead of drawing back, is one that is diligently seeking Him, chapter 11 and verse 6. I need to be one that is eagerly waiting for His return at the end of chapter 9. Is that you? Are you enduring through all that this life has to offer? Are you anticipating with great joy the coming of Jesus? If you are, the text that we're in chapter 10, Bible says in verse 34, 35, and 36, in fact, look at the last word. If you're in chapter 10, look at the last word of verse 34, look at the last word of verse 35, and look at the last word of verse 36. Do you see it? If you look at the last word of verse 36, what do we have? A promise. If you look at the last word of verse 35, what do we have? A reward. If you look at the last word of verse 34, what is it? Where is that promise of a reward in the last word of verse 34? It's in heaven. You look at this text, and if I keep pressing on, God says, I've got this eternal reward waiting for you in heaven. Is that what you want? Is that where your sights are set? The Bible says when we go there, we will follow Jesus, who's our forerunner, chapter 6, behind the veil into the very presence of God, where we will enter into that eternal rest chapter 4 talks about. That eternal rest where we will never have to be spending another moment away from our God, where we will have the eternal salvation of our soul. You ever feel like giving up? You ever feel like, I don't know how much longer I can go, I'm not sure how much longer I can push? God says, remember the second coming of Jesus. Anticipate it. Look forward to it. Eagerly wait for it, so that at that time, you can enjoy the promise of the reward that is laid up in heaven. As we finish this year, and as we look towards the new year, what could be the best thing that you could do today? The best thing you could do today is to make sure that you end this year as a faithful New Testament Christian. That's the best thing you could do today. No matter what's happened already, no matter what's going to happen, to say, I'm going to start from this point and go forward from today, pressing on, not giving up, and that's going to require that I become and I live as a faithful New Testament Christian. How do I do that? Well, I turn to my New Testament, and I find that in order to do that, I need to believe that Jesus is God's Son. That He truly came and lived on this earth as a human. That He died on that cross, sacrificing Himself for me, shedding His blood for me, was buried in that tomb, and He was raised the third day. You believe that with all of your heart? If you believe that, the Bible calls upon us to take that faith and make a decision upon that faith of repentance that says, I want to stop sinning, I want to stop doing wrong, and I want to turn my life in the direction of God and start doing right. If you've never made up your mind and made that decision, why don't you do it today? Say, I'm done with the world, I'm done with the devil, I'm done with sin, I'm ready to serve God. I'm ready to turn my life in His direction. And the Bible says when you've made that decision, then your heart's going to burst forth and want to confess your faith in Jesus and then to follow the commands of Jesus Himself, to put Christ on in baptism, to be buried with Him. Mark 16, verse 16 says, He who believes, Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized, that's the person who's going to be saved. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been baptized so that at that very moment your sins could be forgiven? So that at that moment, the blood that Jesus shed for us on the cross could cleanse you, purge you, put away your sin, take away your sin, so that they're never remembered again. That's what being baptized into Christ does. He writes your name in heaven. you become a part of His church. And then God calls upon us as His children to endure. Chapter 10 and verse 35 and 36, God says, you have need of endurance. And whatever comes our way, we need to endure, to press on, and to not give up in serving the Lord. As we get ready to finish this year, where are you in your walk with the Lord? There's warm water here, there's garments, there's towels. You need to be baptized into Christ this day so that today your sins can be forgiven. You can do that this morning and walk out of this building with God not remembering a single sin you've ever committed. If you've already done that and have strayed away from the Lord, get your life right with Him today. If we can help you in that regard, come right now as together we stand and sing.